Chapter 11. Although they had stayed up until John August and his family went home a little after midnight on Christmas Eve, even the children were to be allowed to go to the early morning service in church on Christmas Day. Aunt Anna woke them at 4:30. "Wake up, chicken," she said. "Wake up. It's Christmas Day." Aunt Martha came upstairs, too, to help the girls get dressed quickly. They had all been sleeping in Nancy's room, two in the bed and two on the mattress placed on the floor. Their stockings hung in a row at the foot of the bed. "Santa Claus has been here," said Helga, jumping up and down. But there was no time to look at presents now. Even stockings would have to wait until after church. Downstairs the candles were lighted in all the windows and even on the Christmas tree. The grown-ups were having coffee and rolls, standing around the kitchen table as they ate. The children took their rolls and the cups of cocoa Grandma had ready for them and ate their early breakfast sitting under the lighted tree. "This is a most unusual place to have breakfast," said Elsa. Uncle Sven and Grandpa were already harnessing Woe, Emma, and Carl the 12th to their sleighs. Soon everyone was ready. They rode through the dark, frosty morning with sleigh bells jingling all the way. Many houses had lighted candles in the windows, and some had lighted Christmas trees. Grandpa said it was because not only the Swedish people in town, but others, too, loved the Christmas morning service and got up early to go to the Swedish church. "It's not at all the way it was when we went to see the sunrise in September," said Nancy. "Then hardly anybody was up. Now almost everybody seems to be. Sleigh bells are jingling everywhere." When they came to the church, many people were going in through the wide open doors. Nancy could hear the organ playing. She took hold of Grandma's hand and walked beside her out of the darkness into a church ablaze with lighted candles in every window and on the altar. At the front of the church stood two tall Christmas trees, much bigger than those in Grandma's sitting room, with hundreds of little wax candles glowing among their branches. The lovely fragrance of evergreen branches filled the church. Nancy sat between Grandma and Elsa and listened to the music and watched the candle flames flicker and dance on the Christmas trees. There were more people in church than there were on Sunday or at any time except at this early Christmas morning service. Every pew was full and extra chairs had been brought in. Still, there was not room enough for all. Many people were standing at the back of the church. The organ began to play the Christmas psalm the Bensons and their guests had sung at midnight. Everybody in the church stood up. It was wonderful to sing, "All hail to thee, O blessed morning," with the organ and with all the other people in the church singing too. After the song was over, the minister read from the Bible. He began, "The people that walked in the darkness have seen a great light." Everything for Christmas seems to be about light, Nancy thought. Grandpa had even told her that it was on Christmas Eve that the days began to lengthen and grow lighter. She sat back and looked at the tall white candles on the altar and tried to count the little flaming candles on the trees. After a while, Helga fell asleep and her father picked her up and held her in his lap. But Sigrid, Nancy, and Elsa stayed wide awake. When the church was over and they came out of the church, it was daylight, and people were calling to each other, "God Jule, God Jule, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas." The children spent the rest of the morning looking at their presents, playing their new games, and reading the books Mrs. Brown had given them. At noon, they all had Christmas dinner at the Carlsons' house. Nancy's dolls, Charlotte and Jasmine, were invited too. Uncle John had brought home a little Christmas tree not more than 15 inches high. It stood beside the big tree in the sitting room. Sigrid and Elsa had made tiny decorations for the little tree as a surprise for Helga, and all their dolls sat around it. "I've never seen a doll's Christmas tree before," said Nancy. "Hereafter, I'm going to trim one every year myself." After dinner, the girls had to take naps again so that they would be wide awake for the early evening service in the church. This service was the children's own festival. They sang their songs and spoke their pieces, standing in front of the great lighted Christmas trees. There was a present under the trees for every child in the church. The festival made the end of the day as lovely as the beginning. Grandma told Nancy that the day after Christmas was also a holiday in Sweden. It was called Annandag Jul. That means second Christmas Day, she said. Nancy thought this was a very good idea. It's kind of like an after party, I guess, she said. So it is, answered Grandma. This year, the day after Christmas was a holiday in America, too, because it was Sunday. Grandpa and Uncle John did not have to go to work and could be with their families all day. Nancy slept until noon. She was astonished when she came downstairs to find that it was not breakfast time, but time for Sunday dinner instead. Well, I ought to be rested now, she said. You look fresh as a daisy, said Grandpa. How would you like to go sleigh riding this afternoon? Sleigh riding, said Nancy. Oh, goody, are the Carlson girls going too? And Alex? We're all going, said Grandpa, grown-ups and children. Right after dinner? No, said Grandpa. Alex and his mother have just got home, and they need a little time to rest. Between 3 and 4, they'll be ready. Are we going to the farm? Asked Nancy. No, said Grandpa. I thought we'd ride out and have a look at the little house. Nancy was so excited at this news that she forgot to ask how Carl the 12th could carry them all. She soon found out that he wouldn't have to. Uncle Sven and Aunt Martha came. They were not riding in their Sunday sleigh, but in one that was very much like Grandpa's grocery sleigh. There would be plenty of room for everybody. They set out just before 4 o'clock. It was such good sleighing weather that Woe Emma and Carl the 12th did not even know that they were pulling such big loads. The sleighs slid over the hard-packed snow as if there were nobody in them. As soon as they got out into the country, Uncle John began to sing, and they all sang with him. Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh, and deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la. Tis the season to be jolly, fa-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la, and all the merriest carols they could think of. They sang one funny Swedish one. It didn't seem to make much sense, but they loved it anyway. Now it is Christmas again, Christmas again, Christmas again. Now it is Christmas again, and Christmas will last until Easter. I wish it would, said Helga. But even the Swedish Christmas wasn't so long as that. Of course, Woe Emma got to the road of the little house first, but Uncle Sven made her wait for Carl the 12th and his sleigh full of people so that they could all go up to the house together. Not one of the children had guessed that a surprise was waiting for them. Sigrid was the first to get an idea of it. There's a light, she almost screamed. There's a light in the little house. There are candles in the window, said Elsa. There's a Christmas tree, said Nancy. Mr. and Mrs. Taylor and Ben stood on the doorstep, waiting to welcome them. The grown-ups had never seen Ben look so happy. The children noticed only the little house. Mr. Taylor had taken the boards off the sitting room windows. There was no furniture in the room except a few chairs and some cushions and blankets on the floor, but there were candles in all three of the sitting room windows. Standing in front of the boarded up fireplace was a great Christmas tree, decorated with popcorn and cranberries, shining apples, and a silver star at the top. The tree was Ben's idea, said Mr. Taylor. I helped him cut it down and bring it in here, of course, but otherwise he has done all the work on it himself. He made the decorations and trimmed the tree. The children forgot all about asking Ben whether he liked his present or not. They were so thrilled with what he had done for them. And you kept it a secret from all of us, said Grandpa. Good for you, Ben. Now Mr. Taylor brought in another surprise, the picture. He set it up beside the Christmas tree, and the golden brown colors in it glowed in the light from the Christmas candles. The grown-ups all thought the little girl was an unusually lovely child, and Sigrid and Helga were as sure as Nancy and Elsa were that she must be Mariette. Of course she is, said Sigrid. Even Alex had to admit that the little girl looked as if her name were Mariette. But how does it happen that we could have Christmas in the little house today? Asked Sigrid. What will the cranes say? The house doesn't belong to the cranes anymore, said Grandpa. Doesn't belong to the cranes, said Elsa. But it has to. They couldn't sell it out of the family. Grandpa repeated what he had said. It was true that the little silver house didn't belong to the cranes anymore. But whose is it? Asked Alex. How could they sell it? Asked Nancy. The children asked questions so fast that they gave Grandpa no chance to answer them. "If you'll all sit down on the floor," he said, "and not interrupt too much, I'll tell you the whole story. You remember how much interested Uncle George was in this little house? He has always liked it, and after we came out here on the moonlight ride, he liked it more than ever. It seemed to him it would be a perfect place for Aunt Hannah and him to live after he retired from his work. After Mr. Maple told you that a law firm had charge of it, Uncle George found out what firm it was and went to see the lawyers." "Was what Mr. Maple said true?" asked Elsa. "Yes," said Grandpa. "Old Jacob, as you always call him, left the property tied up so that it had to be kept in the family. But Mr. Maple neglected to tell you one thing, because he didn't know it himself, I suppose. Old Jacob's will said that when the Crane family had died out, when there was no member of the family left, then the little house could be sold." "And have they all died?" asked Sigrid. "Yes," said Grandpa. "And here is something your children will say is as good as a fairy tale. The very week Uncle George went to see the lawyers, they were planning to put the house up for sale. If Uncle George and Aunt Hannah hadn't come to see us that week, and if we hadn't taken that moonlight ride, somebody else might have bought the little house." "Oh," said Elsa, "wasn't it lucky they came? When are they going to move here? Right away?" "No," said Grandpa, "Uncle George isn't going to retire for another 10 years or so. He has rented the house to a family that will move in the spring."
"Is it a nice family?" asked Nancy. "Will they love the little house?" Grandpa smiled. "Yes," he said, "it's a very nice family."
"What's their name?" asked Elsa. Grandpa looked around at all the children sitting at his feet, and then he answered Elsa's question. "Their name is Bruce," he said. "Mr. and Mrs. Bruce, and Miss Nancy Bruce."
"Nancy!" said Alex and the Carlson girls. Nancy turned so pale that Aunt Martha put an arm around her.
"I thought for a minute you were going to faint," she said.
"It was Aunt Martha's idea that you might move into the little house," said Grandpa. "Tell them, Martha, how you happened to think of it."
"It came to me," said Aunt Martha, "the day Nancy and Elsa and I went out to the little house and found the yellow rose bush and felt so sad that Nancy could not be here to see it blossom. I knew living in the country would be good for her mother, and I knew that Uncle George had already begun to think of buying the little house. We don't need to tell you the whole story tonight. It all took a great deal of letter writing and arranging, of course, but at last it is settled. Nancy's father has been able to get a job in the shoe store in town, and as soon as her mother gets out of the hospital, she will come to Grandma's or to the farm, and in May, the little house will be ready for you, Nancy."
"Oh, Nancy," said Elsa, "you'll be with us forever and ever. You won't have to leave us at all."
"Nancy," said Sigrid, "won't we have fun? I'm glad old Jacob was ornery and kept the house boarded up until you came."
"That's another thing," said Grandpa. "Elsa was evidently right about old Jacob. He wasn't so bad as the rest of you thought. He made a great deal of money and left it all to be used for a children's board in a hospital. The money Uncle George is paying for the house will go to the hospital, too."
"Old Jacob must have done it in memory of his little daughter, Mariette," said Elsa.
"You may be right," said Grandpa. "Perhaps we'll find out some day."
"We'll find out everything," said Alex, "about the house and the picture, too. Maybe we'll even find treasure."
"We can plant seeds for traveler's joy," said Elsa. "We can make things and have a sale and give the money to the children in old Jacob's hospital," said Sigrid.
"And Ben," said Helga suddenly, "when you've saved up enough money to go to the city, you save up enough to come back, too, so we can all be together forever and ever."
Grandpa put his arm across Ben's shoulder.
"That's right, Ben," he said. "We can't get along without either you or Nancy."
Nancy had not said anything at all. The surprise had been so great that she was just beginning to realize that she and Mama and Papa were really going to live in the little house, and she wouldn't have to leave her friends. She got up and went over to Grandma.
"It's almost too much to believe all at once, isn't it, darling?" Grandma asked, hugging her.
Nancy nodded. She stood close to Grandma, listening to the other children talking eagerly about things the Crimson Ramblers could do to help get the little house ready, until Grandpa said it was time to go home. But Mrs. Taylor said they must all come over and have a cup of coffee or cocoa first. "It's no trouble at all," she said. "It's practically ready." They found that the Taylors had a little parlor organ and that Mrs. Taylor could play on it, and that Mr. Taylor liked to sing as well as they did themselves. Instead of leaving early, as they had intended to, they stayed so long singing with the Taylors that the stars were out and the moon was shining when they set out for home. Nancy stood up as they rode by the little house. The moon shone down on its gray boards, just as it had done the night they first saw it. She put her hand on Grandma's arm. "See, Grandma," she said, "it is a little silver house."